1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. The Bible says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." Dear Lord, bless your word. God, save those that may be lost. Edify and strengthen those who need it. Meet with us today, Lord. We need you. I need you. We ask for your presence and your help here. And God, just have your way. Holy Spirit, please meet with us. In the name of Jesus. And amen. I want to preach on the subject, the right or wrong side of history. The right or wrong side of history. And the reason I chose this topic is the politicians and the pundits throw this phrase around a lot today. The right side of history. Especially when they're discussing homosexuality. And when someone tells you that you are on the wrong side of history, it's another way of saying to you, you're going to lose anyway, why not just go ahead and give up? When they say you're on the wrong side of history, what they're saying to you is, you're going to lose, why don't you just surrender? Well, as Christians, we believe the Bible. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are loyal to Him regardless of the outcome. And I believe the Bible is the final authority. And I hope you do. Man's opinions and the changing culture cannot overrule the Word of God. Our children today are being taught that there is no such thing as morality or immorality, just opinions. And according to many young people today, there is no definite right or wrong. If the majority of the people think something's right, then it's right. That's what they used to call mob rule. Let me state this concerning America. Many today do not know that our country was founded as a republic, not a democracy. We were not founded to be a democracy. We were founded to be a republic. And a republic is a representative government ruled by law. Thomas Jefferson said, "A democracy is nothing more than mob rule where 51% of the people may take away the rights of the other 49. So no matter what the majority says, as Christians, we have to go with what the Bible says. And our rights may be taken away from us, but we still have to stand on what the Bible says. Even if it means we're on the quote-unquote wrong side of history. If the whole world says something is right and the Word of God says it's wrong, it's wrong. So I want to say, number one, history will come to an end. History will come to an end. Turn, if you would please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's look at verse 3. Noah Webster said, "What is the history of nations but a narrative of the follies, crimes, and miseries of man?" What is the history of nations but a narrative of the follies, crimes, and miseries of man? History's pretty bleak, really, when you look at it. But history is going to come to an end. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat." History's going to come to an end. All these things are going to come to an end. Revelation chapter 10 tells us that one day an angel is going to stand with one foot on the sea and one foot on the land, and he's going to declare that time shall be no more. Time shall be no more. This planet's brief history is just like a few days in the mind of God. For this planet, I believe to be close to around 6,000 years old, is just 6 days in the mind of God. Because a day to Him is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Now, I don't know if that means literal. I don't think it does. But I think it's to show us that God, time doesn't mean a whole lot to God. He has no beginning or end. God has no beginning or end. God, He is outside the realm of time. He moves outside the realm of time. And one day time will be no more as we know it. Everything you see here will be burned up. The elements, the Bible says, is going to melt with a fervent heat. God destroyed the earth in Noah's day. The passage that we just read said that. God destroyed the world in Noah's day with a flood. But the next time He destroys the earth, it's going to be with fire. He's going to purge this earth with fire. Verse 11 says, seeing that all this is going to be dissolved, how should we live? Seeing how all this is going to burn up, what should we be living for? C.H. Spurgeon said, all these people that are collecting gold, trying to get rich, he said they just as soon be collecting brass tacks. It's worthless. I mean, it takes money to live, right? As old preacher friend of mine used to say, money can't buy happiness, but it sure can drive misery away. And it can. But listen, if you're just in this world trying to get money, it's going to be worthless. If all this is going to be burned up, everything we see is going to be burned up, all our possessions, all our belongings, then we need to be living for something more eternal than what we see here. That's what the Apostle Peter is trying to tell us here. We should be holy and godly, without blemish. So, one day there'll be no more history. And can I say this? When that happens, it won't matter. It won't matter if you were on the wrong side of history. That day when there's no more history, it won't matter that you were on the wrong side of history. So history, number one, will come to an end. Number two, Truth is eternal. Truth is eternal. We read this morning in Sunday school where Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate, looking at truth personified, looked truth in the eyes and said, "What is truth?" But truth is eternal. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 that truth has fallen in the street. I often feel that way today. When you watch the news or read the newspaper or listen to the radio, truth has fallen in the street. It's being trampled by our nation. It's being trampled by our political leaders. It's even being trampled by preachers and religious people. Truth has taken a beating. But you know what? Just in my lifetime, I was thinking about this as I was studying. Just in my lifetime, we have moved away from a society that prayed in school and read the Bible every day to a society where the public schools have gay, lesbian clubs in them. Just in my lifetime. There was a time if a man wanted to see pornography, when I was a young person, when I was a boy, years ago, some of you, I'm old, okay? So, years ago, if a man wanted to see pornography, I can tell you the name of the theater he had to go to. He had to go downtown to a seedy old theater in front of God and everybody and buy a ticket and go inside of that theater, or he had to go into a place that had a peep show in the back room. But now we've got elementary kids looking at pornography on their cell phones. Our nation has moved. You know, the old cigarette commercial, "You've come a long way, baby." We've come a long way, but it's the wrong way. The average person doesn't know right from wrong today. And as a nation, we've thrown the Bible into the street and we've told God we know what's best. We've told God we know what we're doing. We have, as a nation, have changed the truth of God into a lie and have worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. And for this cause, as a nation, God has given us up to vile affections. Men trample the truth under their feet on this earth, but God's truth is eternal. God's truth is eternal. Jesus is truth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You can't get to the Father any other way but through Jesus Christ. You can't get through the Father by coming to church. You can't get through the Father by worshiping Mary. You can't get to the Father by being baptized. You can't get to the Father by being religious. The only way that you can be reconciled to God is through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. So regardless of what anybody says, regardless of what a dictator says, or regardless of what a president says, or a government says, the Bible is truth. The Bible is truth. No matter, you know, just recently, last week, I believe, one of the Presbyterian denominations okayed homosexual marriage. Regardless of what a religious denomination group does, the Bible doesn't change. If they called me tomorrow, all my Baptist friends called me tomorrow and said, we're gonna say gay marriage is okay. By the grace of God, I'd say, well, the Bible says it's not okay, so I'm sorry. We're not changing. We can't change on that. So God's Word is our authority and His truths are eternal. And it's not just homosexual marriage, that's just one issue, but it is a big issue. Everything around us is being affected by this. Truth has fallen in the street, the Bible says. So I want to say this. God's Word is our authority. And God's Word is eternal. It's forever settled in the heavens. History will come to an end. Truth is eternal. Number three, it's best to be on the right side of eternity. It's best to be on the right side of eternity. You can be on the right side of history and still be on the wrong side of eternity. You can be on the right side of history, and you know what? They call this in teenagers, don't you? What we're being put through as adults, they call it peer pressure. You're being made to feel, and I am being made to feel like we're some kind of backwood hick because we're against this homosexual marriage thing. We're being the whole quote unquote world is coming down on us and telling us you just need to get with it. You're on the wrong side of history. You're unenlightened. You don't understand. But regardless of that, the Bible is right. And it's better to be on the wrong side of history and on the right side of eternity. Psalm chapter 2. Turn over to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. I'm going to read the whole psalm. I want you to read with me. Psalm chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessels. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. It's best to be on the right side of eternity. All these people, the governments, the kings, the dictators who shake their fist at God, God has the answer to that. He says, I got some advice for you, fellas. You better kiss the Son. You better make up now, lest you perish. His wrath is so strong that just a little of it would destroy them. More important than being on the right side of history is being on the right side of eternity. I couldn't help but think about the German people during World War II. I'm sure they felt that they were on the right side of history when they set out to eliminate the Jew and to plunge the world into war. I'm sure they felt, at least for a time, that they were on the right side of history. But there was a lot of people who didn't feel that way, and one was a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Lutheran pastor, and he helped lead a resistance movement against Hitler. And he was arrested and placed in a Gestapo prison and kept there for a time. And later he was moved to a concentration camp, and as the war was nearing its end, the Nazis decided rather than see this man be freed by the Allied armies, we're going to kill him before they can rescue him. So they took him out into the yard of that concentration camp. They put him underneath a scaffold. They hung him naked with a piano wire around his neck. That was April 9th, 1945. And as far as the Nazi government was concerned, he was on the wrong side of history. But he wasn't on the wrong side of eternity. He was on the right side of eternity. Well said the poet, truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the den unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above His own. Listen, one of these days, you're going to be glad that you were on the right side of eternity. It's not easy sometimes in this world to go against the grain. But in the book of Daniel, you remember those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The king said, look here, fellas, we're going to have this little party. I've got this big statue set up. And when the music plays, I expect everybody here to bow down to my statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, well, I'll just go ahead and tell you, king, we're not bowing. We're not going to do it. And he got very angry, didn't he? And he heated up the fire. And when the music played, they stood up. They didn't bow. And guess what he did? He had them thrown in the fire, didn't he? But let me say this. It's better to be in the fire with Jesus than to be in the world without Him. It's better to go through the fire with God than to bow the knee to this world. It's better to go through the fire with God than to give in to what the world demands. I wonder if we could talk to them today what they'd say. I think they'd say, well, you know, we were on the wrong side of history there. But we were on the right side of eternity. Everybody around us was doing it, but we decided to stay with God. You know, the rulers in this verse, or in this chapter of Psalm 2, the rulers say in verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's what society's saying today. The society's saying, we don't want your rules. We don't want your laws. We want to do what we want to do. We're living in a libertine society. We're living in a where anything goes society. We're living in a, if you say something's wrong, they say, well, that's your opinion. That's where we're at today. But you know what? God says, he that sitteth in the heavens, verse 4, shall laugh. The governments of this world and the heathen of this world and the anarchists, those who want to throw off the restraints of the Bible, God's not intimidated by them. He rules, and He will rule. So, there's coming a day when you're going to be glad that you're on the right side of things. It may not always look so good now, but there's coming a day. It's not easy now. I'll be honest with you. If the Lord tarries, Christians are going to see persecution in this country, I believe. I believe we are. And it may not, when you think of persecution, you might think of taking somebody and putting them in the stocks or tying them to a post and beating them with a... Now, I'm not talking about that persecution, though that may come to that eventually. What I'm talking about is you losing your job, you being demoted, you not being promoted. I don't know what's going to happen to people. I thought about this the other day. A person who believes like I do, at my age, if I went to apply for a job and they asked me what I believe, there's nobody would hire me. Not if they ask me what I really believe. I'm a square peg in a round hole. I told the Lord, I said, God, if I ever need employment, you're going to have to work it out because there's nobody to hire me what I believe. Let me ask you today, Are you trusting Him? Verse 12 in Psalm 2 says, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little." And then it says, "Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." Are you trusting Him today? Is He... I've gave a negative message. There's a lot of negative things I've said today. But there's one positive thing. Are you trusting Him today? I'm ready. I mean, I don't want to go through the fire, but if He'll go through the fire with me, that'd be all right. I'm trusting Him today. And He's never failed me yet. We are sinners by nature, and we are sinners by choice. And the Bible tells me this: God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that good to know? There's only one way, folks, to be forgiven. We're all sinners. There's only one way to be forgiven. I tell you right now, you lay your head down at night and you've got a load of sin on your back, there's only one way to lose that load of sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, there's only one way to be reconciled to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Romans chapter 5 says, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Jesus came and shed His blood on Calvary that you could be reconciled to God. Jesus came and shed His blood that you can be forgiven. Jesus came and shed His blood on Calvary that you could go to heaven. Isn't that great? Isn't that good news? That's what the gospel is. It's good news. You can be forgiven. You can be made whole. You can be made complete. You can lay your head down tonight and not worry about your sin, not worry about going to hell. Have peace in your mind. You know the world's looking for peace. Peace. I mean, we go out every day and we face the world, and it's hectic, and there's a lot of problems in the world, but you know you can have peace right in the middle of a storm if you know Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." There's only one way to get to God, folks. It's through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. You thought, well, you might be sitting here today and say, "Well, I thought you had to go to church." No. If you get saved, you ought to go to church. But that's not how you get to God. You may be thinking, "Well, I thought you had to be baptized." Well, if you get saved, you should be baptized, but that's not how you get to God. Maybe you're thinking, "Well, I thought you had to be a good person." Well, the Bible said there's none good. There's none good, no, not one. The Bible says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's nothing we could do to merit heaven. That's why grace is called unmerited favor. There's nothing I can do to deserve heaven. So what I'm telling you today is, if you want to know God, if you want to be saved, if you want forgiveness of sins, if you want to go to heaven when you die, you need to trust Jesus Christ. Then you'll be on the right side of eternity. 1989, I trusted Christ as my Savior. 1989, I believed on Him. I trusted Him as my Savior. He changed my life. He gave me a new destination. I'm no longer going to the same place. I was going to hell, but now I'm going to heaven. I was living a life of sin, but now I'm living for Him. I'm under new management. God changed my life. Colossians chapter 1 says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." So I want to tell you today, this Bible, people may look at it today and say, you guys are on the wrong side of history. But I got news for the people that are saying that. They're going to be dead and gone, and this Bible's still going to be standing. The people that are saying I'm on the wrong side of history and that you're on the wrong side of history, they're going to be 6 feet under the ground, and the Bible's still going to be true. This world's going to burn up in a ball of fire, and this Bible's going to stand. I think I'll just go with the Bible. I stake my soul on the thing. Do you?